Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat.
Hello and welcome to our Heart podcast for this week. It's great to be with you. I'm here with Michaela. How are you going?
I am great. Thank you. Emma, how are you?
Very good. This is our second last podcast for the year.
I know. It's almost Christmas time.
I know. Which is exciting. I'm getting excited. Now that we're in December, I'm getting excited. Whereas It's before that, I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. I was actually saying that to Justin's mum the other day. We went to the city to look at the Christmas lights.
Yes.
And for those of you listening, in Perth, there's a Christmas trail in the City of Lights where all the different organizations kind of have their own displays. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And so we didn't do all of it because we had Nonna with us and she was getting tired. But I was saying until that point, like, it didn't feel like Christmas. We had our Christmas decorations up, all of that sort of stuff. But walking around and seeing these glittering lights everywhere, it started to really feel Christmassy.
That felt festive.
And I think it was a very cold night, so it was like, oh, it's almost like the Australian version of the winter Christmas.
Yeah, and everyone else is going, oh yeah, not that winter, but yeah. Like, today we've got a 40 degree day here, so we know we're not in winter.
That's right.
It's starting to feel that exciting time of the year, and like, my daughter's got a Christmas concert this week, so
that's,
you know,
exciting.
They're kind of fun, so
yeah
cool. All right, so this week we talked about the scripture, John 10:10, which is, I've come and to give life to the full, pretty much in summary, at Rosemary Shed in our Heartbeat. And there's just so much in this episode.
Yeah.
That we'll do our very best, but I'm just not sure we're going to get through everything today. Because there's just so much to talk about. Like, I love this scripture, John 10:10, about living life to the full. And as Rosemary Shed, it's about this wholeness and completeness. An entirety, like, so us being, I suppose, an entire part of us, living life to the full, being unbroken and undamaged, and completeness that makes us satisfied. That's probably the best kind of way to put it. And when I think of life to the full, I think of getting everything out of me. So in terms of everything out of me, in terms of my talents that God's given me, being who God called me to be, following Christ to the full, and then following his will. So, like, to me, living life to the full is, like, made up of all these pieces. And if I can do all that with God, of course, because I can't do it by myself, then I feel like that's me living life to the full. I'm not sure I achieve that every day.
Yeah.
Or how
it's
often.
It's like a lifelong journey.
That's right. It's me trying to get there.
I just had this really weird image in my head. So Emma and I were talking about, I'm a bit of a baker. I like to do that in my spare time.
You do like to bake.
I made some cookies yesterday. Yeah. Justin's been asking me for a while. Yeah. So I figured, okay, I'll make some cookies. And I just thought about, like, I'm not sure if it'll make sense, but when you're making cookies, you follow a recipe. So you spent ages, like, kind of building a foundation, right, for these tasty treats.
Yeah.
And then you finish making the batter, the cookie dough, and then you kind of have to carefully roll it out into these balls and place it on the tray all ready and set to go. And then you lick the bowl. Do you do that?
Of course. Yeah.
I'm getting the fullness out of my cookies, you know. And I think that the way that I was relating that in my head was that, like, there are so many facets to fullness. I think there's, like, not one, there's not one thing apart from God, obviously, but there's not one, like, facet of God, of who God is, of his character, that we only focus on this one tiny part of him and then we're brought to fullness, you know?
There's so much to it. That's right. And it's God that gives us that fullness, which when, like, our discussion we'll talk about soon, like, as Rosemary talked about, it's us knowing the starting point of we are worthy and God has made us worthy, but it's only with Christ that we can live that life to the full, because he's the one that gives the completeness. He's the one that makes the fullness.
Mm.
And so I suppose how you describe that in words of what that feels like, the best way I can describe it is, I know for myself I always want more. Mm. And what does more mean? Like, I'm doing like quotation marks, you know, more. More means more of me in terms of achieving something, more of me in terms of becoming who I'm meant to be, like, so being more kind, being more generous, being like, you know, if I think of all the things of the person I'm trying to be, it's always trying to do more of that.
Yeah.
And with God, he's the one who helps with that more,
because he always has more.
That's right. So for him it's never ending,
which I think that's the thing. A lot of people's testimonies start with like this, they start with someone talking about how they always felt like something was missing, or how they always had a desire for something other, something more. But the things in their life that they were relying on kind of would always come to an end. You know, so relationships, you can only rely on a relationship for happiness to a certain point. There's always going to be a point where that person fails you or runs out of being able to give to you, or leaves, or something. And
because we're frail too.
Exactly. Yeah. We're human, and there isn't more to that, you know. There's still richness to that. The things that are placed in our life are still filled with like a wealth of goodness. It's just that they don't have fullness at its entirety, you know. They have like little sprinkles of God's fullness in them, because they are made by him and made by his goodness. But yeah, I think that a lot of people's testimonies start up with, I always wanted, you know, I always felt like there was something missing. More. There was always something within me that felt like I didn't have enough.
Yeah. And I probably feel, as someone who I've tried to, you know, live my faith out for many years now, I still feel like I want that more. So it's not just the beginning, it's like a continuous, God, I want more.
And
I want you more and more and deeper.
Yeah. I feel like we can convince ourselves that that's a bad thing, like, oh, I've been walking with God for 10 years now and I still want more. There's still something that I want to, you know, this I still need to chase, you know. But I think that like, it's not spoken about in Catholic and Christian culture enough, that it's a very common feeling, and it's actually a healthy feeling. Because when you don't feel like there's any more, you stop pursuing God.
Yeah. And I think that more is that desire in us to draw closer to God again and again.
And
I've like wrote myself, you know, a thought like, I feel like with God I'm close for a period of time, and then, you know, for some reason you don't feel very close. So it's just like this cycle of I need to continue to pursue you, God, and in doing that I'm continuing to have that life to the full. And I think it's too, I think we talked about last week or the week before how like I used to think with my life, if I've got all these you know, weaknesses in my life, I can work on one, and once I ticked it off,
it'll go away.
Complete, and then I move on to the next weakness in my life.
Yeah.
But it's like those things are always there to a certain extent.
Yeah.
God calls you on to, okay, you've been able to become more kind in the way you treat people, but Emma, there's a whole nother level again, and I'm going to challenge you to the next bit now.
Yeah. Or even sometimes when we, you know, we feel like we're in a season where we're really close with God, where everything's going happy and well, it's almost like, oh, I can stand on my own two feet, you know, like everything's going well, and so we start to rely on ourselves more.
That's
kind of the cycle for me, is like I feel like I'm close to God, and then, you know, I reach this stage where I'm feeling very full, I guess. And so I'm like, great, all sorted.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah.
I can walk on my own two feet. I can be the driver.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I start to take that control from him, I'm like, oh, I need something more again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's it. Something that really got me thinking, let me have a look. What have I written? I've written it down because I was thinking, oh, yeah, I need to think about that. More I was thinking about, like, what do I go to when I want more? Is it always Jesus?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it is.
No.
Yeah. You know, I'm distracted by other things, but we know that Jesus is the one who will give us that satisfaction and that fulfillment.
Mm.
And like the stories we've heard in the Bible of him healing people.
Yeah.
He healed them physically, but the first thing he generally did often was he healed their sins first or forgave them.
Mm.
So that inner part of us, the soul part of us, that's what he finds the most important. Yeah. Jesus looks at the heart and he looks there first and then he healed the physical.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think these days, like, people can be so protective of that inner part of their being, you know, that really private, true part of ourselves. Mm. People can be really protective of that for a very good reason. You know, you don't want anyone to exploit that. But I think that in a way, when it comes to your relationship with God, is almost like the enemy of you fulfilling that fullness, the enemy of you being in that fullness, because God already knows what's in there, but if you don't let him into it, then he can't heal it. He can't, not because he doesn't have the ability, but because he's given you free will for a reason, you know. He doesn't want to break your trust by breaking in and just fixing anything when you weren't ready.
You weren't ready for that. That's all right. I suppose that kind of leads us on a bit to then knowing that God has made us worthy, that in him, like, he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us.
Yeah.
And he has made us worthy through that.
Mm-hmm.
And in knowing that, that's when we can come to God to get that fulfillment, to get that, to live life to the full, that satisfaction. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I started watching Rosemary's video and I started to really think about what is fullness, because it's definitely something that I've pursued in my life. And it's probably, I'm not sure if it's just my personality type or if it's normal for everybody, but it's probably the biggest question that I ask myself all the time. Mm. The two questions are, is this enough? And the second question is, am I spending my time with it wisely? You know, am I using this fullness to its full potential?
Yep.
Or am I just, yeah, this is fullness. Cool.
Mm.
You know, I've got it. That's all I need, you know? Because I feel like God gives us this fullness for a purpose. And so when I was watching Rosemary's video and I was really kind of thinking through it, I had the thought that God told us that as humanity, like, our purpose is to, like, reflect the character of Christ, yes, right? Yeah. And so when are we fully reflecting the character of Christ? When are we fully in that state of humanity that he designed us to be in? And I think that after thought, the thing that really brings us into this fullness is by making an offering of ourselves, by making an offering not only of ourselves, but of every facet of our life. Because Jesus also made an offering of himself. Not just in the very obvious resurrection, but also in the small ways, you know. I feel like in every interaction, he was very patient, very sacrificial, very pure, you know, and innocent almost. Definitely innocent, not almost, in the way that he made an offering of himself. And so... Yeah, I think oftentimes it can be hard to identify how can I find this fullness, you know. But I would say to that, in making an offering of myself, and that could look like anything from taking risks, not bad risks, taking, you know, healthy risks.
Stepping out to try something.
Leaps of faith.
Maybe.
Yeah. Being present, you know, being grateful, following our passions, pursuing God in the now, which is my probably my personal challenge in my life at the moment, is pursuing God in the now rather than pursuing God in, like, as future Michaela.
Yeah, like
in
what
the future
type
I'll be like this with God. It's like, well,
you need to pursue
you
to
need
there.
To start now or you're not going to be like that, you
I
know.
I think what's coming to mind as we're chatting is trying to live the life of fullness that God wants to give us. I've come to give you life to the full. Is the phrase pursuing God. Like, to me, living that life to the full, as I was said earlier about getting most out of who God's made me to be or the talents he's given me, is for me ultimately about the pursuit of God.
Yeah.
And in pursuing him, which is pursuing all those facets about him, like the fact that he's a loving God, a kind God, a compassionate God, a God of mercy, which are all those things that I want in my life, that pursuit of him then, as I begin to put those character traits into my life, cause me to have that life to the full as I'm pursuing him.
It's almost like as you take on those traits, as you pursue building those traits within yourself, the more you recognize them in God, right? Because you've familiarized yourself with what that looks like. Because I feel like sometimes we're like babies, like not in a way that, you know, we're immature, but maybe in that way. But more so I'm thinking of in a way like we have to be taught everything, you know, so we might say like, oh, we know what textbook compassion looks like, and you need to do this, this and this to do it. But when we start practicing it, it's like we're learning to walk and then we kind of recognize, oh, there's like people walking around us in the same way, you know. I think babies don't necessarily watch us walk, stand up and start walking. But once they start walking, they're like, oh, the dog's walking next to me, or oh, that other kid's walking. And so as they take on these skills, they recognize those skills in other people, and they're then able to interact with those skills in other people as well.
And I think it also comes, what God looks at is our heart. So we can be doing the actions of being compassionate to someone, but only ourselves and God actually know if our heart is being compassionate.
Am I doing it because that's what the right thing to do? Like, am I doing it because, oh, that's the good thing to do in this situation? Or am I doing it because that's what I'm called to? You know, I think I think knowing like should and called, that they're different, that obligation and pursuing a calling with intention, those are two different things.
And I think as we pursue God with a real desire for him more in our lives, then we can become more like him, and then that is what fuels the gives us that satisfaction and gives us that life to the full that God gives us. I just love the stories of the Samaritan woman and Zacchaeus, like Jesus saying, you know, you are worthy because I'm talking to you, you are worthy, you know, I've asked you for a glass of water, to the Samaritan woman, to Zacchaeus, I want to go to your home, you know, because you are worthy. And like they themselves are probably thinking, what? Are you talking to me? And it just really made me think only Jesus can fill that need.
Yeah.
Like all the needs that we have in our lives, only Jesus can fulfill them.
I did like the part where Rosemary said that Jesus was the one who approached the woman at the well, because I think in the past I've always thought like, oh, I need to approach Jesus. I need to be the one because he gives me the choice, which is still true. Like he does give us the choice so that, because he does want us to approach him. But sometimes I feel like God is ignoring me in a way that like I go to him and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen a change. Oh, I haven't got this huge voice booming from the clouds answer. Like he's ignoring me. But then I started thinking about, well, if I think about what Rosemary said, Jesus was the one who approached this woman at the well. She wasn't the one who approached him. Then how many times a day does Jesus approach me, and instead of responding like the woman at the well, even if it's responding with doubt, like I don't hear him because I'm not focused on, like I'm not making an offering of my life at that stage. So why would I have ears to hear or eyes to see at that stage? Or maybe, you know, I ignore him. Like I hear something from him and I'm like, yeah, I prefer it my way. You know, my way is easier. It's less challenging. It doesn't require much of me. Do I fall into complacency in that sort of area?
I can say there's many times in my life where I'm like, no, God, I don't want to be challenged right now. Like I'm just going to ignore that.
Like how many times has God literally come up to me and been like, hey, I can forgive your sins, and I'm like, I'm kind of enjoying this area of sins, that's right. You know,
come
which
back later.
You know, not great, but it's
but
human.
We do it,
And so me thinking about that, then it's almost like a wonder to me that I would still go up to God in my prayer time and be like, why are you ignoring me and why aren't you giving me your fullness right now?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm literally being offered fullness 24/7 and I'm not accessing it. I'm just letting it go to the wayside. So, yeah, I think that's kind of that point that I wanted to talk about is Rosemary said Jesus was the one who approached, and I think oftentimes we can convince ourselves that
he's not approaching.
He's not approaching, or we always have to be the one who approaches him, and it's why can't he approach us for a change? But I would just challenge everybody to maybe keep a lookout for the amount of times that they're approached and they don't see it or they ignore it.
I think when you really start to pursue God and really want to get that fullness of life that God talks about, it changes our perspective on the way we live our life and the attitudes we have to things, the way we treat other people. Like, you can wake up in the morning and be, okay, God, I'm ready to jump into the things you have for me today because I'm living, or I'm trying to pursue you and live the life that you've called me to.
Yeah.
And when you have that perspective, which for me has gone up and down through my life, I'm not saying it's there every day, but I've had periods where, like, I have woken up, you know, gone to university and gone, yes, God, today I'm at uni, you know, I'm going to listen to lectures, but I'm right there pursuing you fully in my life. Like, it does give you a different perspective on the way you step out in your life every day.
Yeah.
And it is an exciting place to be, but hey, we want to stay there all the time.
Yeah.
In space. Totally. But as a human, we don't. But yeah, it just gives you this new perspective on life when you're pursuing the fullness that God has for you.
And as we get older and as we pursue, like as we're at a further state in our pursuit of God, I feel like this question really comes up. It's, do I have space in my, like, do I have space in my life for God's fullness? Or the more challenging way to phrase that question, am I making space?
Am I making space?
Because I think a lot of the time my excuse, or a lot of the time I hear from my friends or whatever, oh, I just feel like I don't have time, you know, or I feel like, oh, everything's so busy right now, you know. But we're always going to be busy. We're always going to have limited space. Yeah. I mean, we only have a limited amount of time on the planet, really, before heaven. So, like, am I making a way for it? And I think that I found that in your... how you were talking about perspective. I think living in God's fullness sometimes looks intense for us because we think it might mean a really drastic lifestyle change. And that's not always accessible to all of us. But I would say to that, that oftentimes when I'm called into God's fullness, my life changes like 0.1%. It's more like a change of heart and in your words, a change of perspective. And I think that that can be a radical thing, a radical reliance, a radical choice. But I think it doesn't necessarily impact.
It doesn't have to impact the outward look of what
the outward appearance of our life.
Impact your heart.
And I think that, once you start making that choice to have a change of heart, then you'll find very quickly that there is space because all of a sudden these areas in your life that you thought were filled with this, well, that thing actually has some of God's fullness in it and you can discover new layers.
Was it only yesterday we actually heard a talk from Bruce, my dad, talking about making room. How do we make room? And I feel like this is perfect. And his points were just breathe for 5 minutes.
How hard? You know,
just stop and
breathe. When he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even like blink for 1 minute. You know, how am I meant to breathe for five?
So like they are a challenge. I'm not saying they're easy, but to breathe for five minutes. And then I think it was to think for 5 minutes. So just thinking about things. The scripture he used was in Philippians 8, where it talks about Philippians 4, I think it's verse 6. About thinking of things that are honorable and true and beautiful. Like, so think about good things for 5 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes was talk to God for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And if we're able to do that, then that can just be the beginning of starting that perspective, like to get God to come and fill those gaps.
Yeah.
If we can do our best to make room.
Yeah. You know? And you'll find that once we stop avoiding doing those things, or once we make room for those things, it actually is very enjoyable. You feel a lot more free, a lot more filled with fullness afterwards. Bless you.
Thank you.
And after we've experienced those things, it's almost like, oh, I want more space in my life.
I
want
to sit here and have this
I want to make that breathing for 10 minutes.
It's like when I go to yoga classes. I love those classes at the very end, or the Pilates class. Usually the last 5 minutes,
take a
you just lie
breath.
And breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm usually almost asleep by the end.
Oh my gosh. I have fallen asleep on gym floors more times than I would like to count.
But yeah, like if we can make that space, and I know for me when it's like just breathe for 5 minutes, I'm like, where do I get 5 minutes from?
And how do I not let my mind wander in that 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's right. But the truth is, if we really want God in our lives, it is a challenge, but we have to figure out how to put that in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because as I was saying before, it's like all well and good to think of ourselves in our Christian walk in the future and to be like, and to imagine ourselves having a great prayer time, having a great relationship with God, having eyes to see God in everything. And we can think of that in quite a like a dreamy kind of daydreamy kind of way. But if we're not making actions towards that, then we're always going to be having that empty, I want more, something's missing feeling. And even though as we continue on the journey, we'll still have that feeling, when we are pursuing God fully and when we're making an offering of ourselves, that feeling has a purpose.
Yeah,
we know we want more of him. It's not just a never-ending cyclical feeling that makes us run dry, but it's a feeling that fills us with need and hunger for God.
Yep, that's right, definitely. All right, I think it's time for the weekly challenge.
Yes.
I think. All right. So the weekly challenge, Rosemary actually put it out there, was to go and tell someone they are of worth. Tell someone you enjoy, that you enjoy talking to them, spending time with them, relating to them. And I mean, I know if someone says that to me, how powerful that makes me feel. So that's our weekly challenge for this week. Go and tell someone that they are of worth.
Nice one.
Cool.
Worship song of the week.
Our worship song of the week, I happened to be listening to actually while I was typing notes for this podcast episode, and it is a good one. The first time I heard it, I didn't know if I liked it because it was a different sound than this artist has ever done. Yeah. It took me a little bit of time. You know when your favorite artist kind of
changes it,
veer off the path of the musical sound that they've been doing. But I discovered that after I let go of my apprehension, I actually really loved this album. And it's called I Am Because You Are by Amanda Lindsay Cook. She goes by Amanda Lindsay Cook now rather than Amanda Cook, but you've probably heard of her before. She's quite popular. And I thought this song was really fitting for the theme for this week. I'll just read the first verse because it is just, impactful. Okay. So it says, take me back to simple things where I found you in everything, and worship wasn't just a song I'd sing all my life, an offering. And I think that alone, let alone the rest of the song, is such a simple prayer that is very impactful and draws us back to right back to the beginning when we first found God, when we first had that fire, when we first had that introduction to him, and we felt like we could just see him in all that we saw, and he was a huge part of everything that we did, every action, every thought. And I know that I can definitely think of times in my journey that my relationship with God was like that, and I've needed to pray a prayer similar to this, making myself intentional and making God it known to God that that's my intention to go back to that place where he was the number one. So I hope you enjoy this song. We will, as always, add it to our playlist on Spotify, our favorites on Heart Catholic Women Spotify. And I hope you enjoy it. I Am Because You Are, Amanda Lindsay Cook.
So
what?
Okay, the So What scripture for this week is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and it says this, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, this scripture I've actually shared before, I'm sure, but it's such an awesome scripture that I wanted to share it again, especially because this week we've been talking about living life to the full. And this is Paul talking about how he just doesn't seem to always live up to what God wants of him, how he does have weakness. And I don't know about you, but I know that I've got weakness in my life. But it's because of Christ that we are able to do what he calls us to do. And so when it says, my grace is sufficient for you, God is talking to us saying that I will make up the difference, that I love you that much, that anything that you're going through, anything that you feel like you can't do with me, you can. And I will give you that grace. And then I like it says, for power is made perfect in weakness. God is made strong in our lives when we come to him and say, hey, God, I can't live up to this. I can't do this. And God will come and bless you with that grace that you need to do what he's called you to do. It's always about recognizing that we're not perfect, but that we have a God who is perfect, who loves us so much that he will make up the difference when we feel that we can't. And God will bless us with ability beyond what we can imagine because of that grace that he gives to us. So I encourage you to check out that scripture this week and just really rely on it in those times where you're like, gosh, God, I just can't seem to live up what you've asked me to do. Or I still can't seem to, you know, talk to that person well in my life. Or I keep treating this person badly. Ask God to come and give you the grace to do what you know you need to do. And with him, you'll be able to.
Spotlight.
Okay, spotlight of the week. Now, we are coming towards the end of the year, so I thought I would just pick something that makes you feel really cozy, ready for, well, it's not necessarily a Christmas thing, but it's just movie nights always make me feel comfy. Yeah, so this week is our first ever movie recommendation for our spotlight, and it is called Miracles from Heaven. This movie, I watched on a plane, bad mistake, should not have watched it on the plane. I was sitting in between two strangers, sobbing my eyes out, a good kind of cry. Yeah. Even though a movie has sad parts in it, it's very uplifting at the end, don't worry. Mm. But oh my gosh, there was not a spot on my face that was not covered with salty, salty tears. And I thought it was very relieving, and it's very inspiring. It's based on a true story. It also has, I believe if I'm correct, Jennifer Garner as the main actress. Mm. She is just brilliant as an actress, and she really does a great job of portraying the mother in this movie. In the full emotional spectrum that there would be. And it's just, you have to watch it. So, Miracles from Heaven, it's about a family with a wonderful miracle pertaining to a child. I don't know how much to give away.
Don't spoiler.
But if you want a good cry and you want to get on your couch with a hot chocolate and a blankie and just to have a nice evening, watch this. And then maybe look at some happy pictures of animals afterwards. Just in case you're feeling a little bit down in the dumps after your cry session. But I hope you enjoy it. Miracles from Heaven.
Awesome. Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you've enjoyed it. Now, don't forget the weekly challenge, which I think is one that will uplift you as well as others, which is go and tell someone that they are of worth. Tell someone that you enjoy talking with them, spending time with them, and relating to them. And when you do that, you will just feel so good, and so will the other person.
Amazing. And if you want to follow us on our social media, that would be a great thing for both you and for us, because we will be able to keep in touch with you. You'll be able to be inspired throughout the week. We often post challenges and different inspirational quotes and encouraging thoughts that our team comes across throughout the week. We also have links to our Spotify music playlist thing. Yep.
The blog, where you videos.
The blog, yep. The videos. More podcast episodes if you've heard this one for the first time and you're like, wow, Emma and Michaela, I love chatting with you. Just hop on to our website or Spotify or Apple Podcast and you can just keep listening to us. But if you want to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, that's Heart Ministry for Women.
That'd be awesome. Well, we hope that you have a blessed week, and I hope that you listen to us again next week for our last one for the season, for the year. And we hope, you just have a really blessed week, and we'll chat to you all next week.
Bye.